today we want to talk about eternal things. And we need to understand that there are many things in the Bible that are eternal. You know, most things in the Bible and most things in life are temporal. That's why we read the passage or had the passage read about things that are temporal and things that are eternal. It's the eternal things that count. The temporal things are passing things. For instance, how eternal is your car? Our houses are temporal, believe it or not. You let the termites get in and do nothing about it. Sometimes our wealth is very temporal. They tell me in 1929, when the stock market crashed, people were lining up to jump out of the window. That's how temporal their wealth was. And shouldn't we understand fully that even our health is temporal? A person, an absolute perfect specimen of manhood, suddenly is either a heart attack or cancer levels them. I got thinking about baby chicks. Have you ever noticed how your kids love those little devils when they have them at Easter time, little baby chicks or baby ducks, and they're so cute, and you see them in the window of the pet store and you forget they're going to grow up to an ugly mess in about 6 months. And by then you can't kill them and eat them because they're part of the family. Puppies. If puppies would stay puppies, wouldn't it be beautiful? But they grow up to be dogs. And worse than all that, the cute little kittens become cats. Temporal. Everything is temporal. But what we need to understand, that God measures everything with eternity's values in view. The devil wants us to live for the now. This is the now generation. We must do it now because we only go around once. And therefore, unless now we do it, it's going to be too late. But I want to talk about four things that are eternal this morning. These things, there is no change. I'm so grateful that we have things amidst the great majority of temporal things. There is things that are eternal. And what better place to start than Deuteronomy 33:27. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The fifth book of the Pentateuch, fifth book of the Old Testament, the last the 33rd chapter. And look at verse 27. You know it. But all notice the first thing we want to mention. And we mention this first because this was first. There can be none before this. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And so the first eternal thing is the eternal God. What a wonderful truth to know that our God is eternal. And yet, he differs from all other eternal things in this sense. We're going to find out in a moment that you and I are eternal too. But there's a great difference between the eternal God and eternal man. Because God was eternal from the beginning, whereas man is only eternal from creation or from conception. We're going to find out that God totally differs from other eternal things because he was eternal in times past, where we are eternal in times future. You see, with God, one of his names is Jehovah, which is the eternal I am. He's the self-existent one. He eternally existed. I can't explain that to you. But we must understand that if there was a time when God wasn't, then who made him? And yet, we know that no one made God because he made everything. So therefore, we know from the scriptures that God is eternal. Another thing we know from scriptures is that God, who is eternal, is a Trinity. He is one God, yet manifest in three persons: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, since God is eternal, then we need to understand that the personalities of God are also eternal. For instance, go to Isaiah. After Psalms and Proverbs and Jeremiah, Isaiah. Look for Isaiah chapter 40. And notice that the Father is an eternal God. God the Father in Isaiah 40, look at verse 28. If God is triune, then God is eternal, then the Father must be eternal, the Son must be eternal, and the Spirit must be eternal. And so we read in Isaiah 40, 28, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint." Why? Because we have an eternal Father, one that we can go to anytime, any place, anywhere. He is an eternal Father, and therefore, because of this, he must have an eternal Son. Now you think it through. If God is eternal, the Trinity has to be eternal: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If the Father is eternal, then how could he be an eternal Father without an eternal Son? You see, I've been a father now some 30 years, 29 years. But God was a Father forever. And Jesus was his Son forever. Now the cults deny this. The cults deny the fact of the eternal fatherhood of God and the eternal sonship of the Lord Jesus, because they believe that there was a time when God brought Jesus Christ forth in creation. They use that verse about the firstborn among many nations, or the firstborn. All that means in the original language is that Jesus is the preeminent of all creation. But nowhere does it say that Jesus was created. In fact, go to John 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 1. Notice what it says there. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning, whenever eternity began in the past, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, beloved, this is so precious and so simple to understand that this one who is the Word, whenever the beginning was, he was there with God. Because of the fact that it says he was with God, and at the same time, he was God. Now, all we got to figure out then, who is the Word? Because the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And immediately we realize that the Word was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was sent into this world as man. Perfect man, perfect God, but he came into this world some 1900 years ago. That's why he was begotten of God. It was not the son of Mary and Joseph, because Mary was a virgin and that which was conceived in her was of the Holy Spirit. And so we find that God caused the Lord Jesus to come into this world as man. I told the Jamaicans the other day that this is so important. Jamaica has, like Florida, ants, fire ants. And if you stand in any particular place down there and do not notice you're standing on a little hill, you're going to get the message in a hurry. Those fire ants will eat you alive. If you've ever been bitten with one or more of them, you don't want to be rebit. But I shared this with the Jamaicans because of the fact that they understood when I talked about ants. And of course, they have the same problem we have, and that is, how do you do away with ants? And so all the chemicals and all of the different things they use destroys ants. And I said, well, let's just suppose, now remember, we're going to suppose this, that I love ants. Hey, some of you love poodles. I love ants, okay? Don't look at me strange now. Most poodle lovers, that's their family. All right, let's not get in there, all right? No ants. I've got an aunt and uncle, but not that kind of aunt, all right? Now listen. Here's a bed of ants. I hear from the agriculture department that they're going to come and destroy those ants. So I get down on my hands and knees. I start screaming at the top of my voice, ants, get out of there. They're going to come and destroy you. You're going to be faced with chemicals. They're going to destroy the hill and all of your life. Get out of there. You know, I'd be an idiot to do that, wouldn't I? I'm well qualified. But I would be a fool to try to talk to ants. But let's suppose I could become an ant. That would be a different story, wouldn't it? If I could become an ant and suddenly get down into that colony of ants, and I don't understand this, folks, but if you go on a picnic, someone tells the ants where you are. You drop one piece of food somewhere, and one ant finds it, and within a few moments, they're coming. Have you ever seen just an actual line of ants you can just follow? Sure you have. You've seen where you've dropped some food, and you'll find they come from every... Who told them? They communicate somehow. And let's suppose I could become an ant. And I could communicate to them and warn them. Then they would flee from the exterminator who is going to come and get rid of them. Oh, beloved, do you get the message? God so loved the world, this colony of people upon this planet Earth. And he loved us so much that he knew that death was coming. And when death comes, it brings eternal damnation, which we'll cover later. But we're going to find out that God loves us, and yet God cannot speak to us as such. And so he said, if somehow we could become like them, and Jesus took upon him the form of a man, a form of a servant, and he came down to this planet Earth, and he lived amongst us, and he communicated through to us through the cross of Calvary that he loves us. And that he wants to save us from eternal damnation. So he paid for our sin upon the cross of Calvary. And he rose from the dead because God was pleased. And now, he says, all that'll look to me. You don't have to be exterminated. You don't have to be cast into the lake of fire. Why? Because of the fact that I paid your penalty. I paid it in full. And so we have an eternal Father who sent his eternal Son for 33 temporal years upon the face of this earth. And thirdly, we have an eternal spirit. Look with me just for a moment at Hebrews 9. Hebrews chapter 9, and notice there that the Father is eternal, the Son is eternal, and in Hebrews 9, look at verse 14. It had talked in verse 13 about the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctify it to the purifying the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, we just talked about that, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works. You see, an eternal Father, an eternal Son, and now an eternal Holy Spirit. The Godhead is eternal. Secondly, not only do we have an eternal God, but we also have an eternal Word. You see, since God is eternal, everything that God has said is eternal. And God wanted us, and God wanted to communicate to us, and so God wrote His Word under the direction and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit through holy men of old. God gave us His infallible Word. And this Word is eternal. Beloved, I'm glad I can count on His Word. I'm glad that I'm sure of His promises. I'm glad today that when God says something, regardless of what man thinks, when God says it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. It settles it. You know, the world is fast forgetting God to convenience. Anytime that you have a conviction that gives in to convenience, it's no longer a conviction. But let me say this. This book, this Word of God, is eternal. They can laugh at what it says. They can mock it. They can say we evolved. They can say that after life, there is no more, after death, there's no more life. They can say what they say, but regardless of what they say, whatever this book says is the way it's going to be, because an eternal God recorded for yours and my benefit His eternal Word. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. Notice this. Oh, there's so many. Matthew 24. Look at verse 32. Matthew 24, 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye know when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but Jesus said, my word shall not pass away. Listen, when Jesus gave His word, He gave His eternal word. Oh, I'm glad this book is eternal. I mean, Jesus said this 1900 years ago. He gave it to His disciples just before His death. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. And it's just as true today as the day He said it. I love that. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter. Hebrews, James, and 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 23. Being born again. Jesus preached about being born again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You see, His word liveth. It's a living word, and it's an eternal word. It abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad that I'm not preaching an outdated book. Do you know when we get to glory, this book's still going to be the book in heaven too? I believe that we will have this book in glory. I believe that Jesus will teach us from this book. I believe he'll illustrate from this book. And I believe we'll enjoy this book forever. I really believe it. You say, well, why will we need the book when we have him? Oh, brother. You think of the thousands that will be there in heaven just to be able to sit down at the greatest teacher that ever taught and explain the book of Daniel. I'd love that right now. Sure would help me out. But folks, this book, like the God of this book, is eternal. I'm hurrying. Number three, the righteous are eternal. Turn to Psalm 37. The righteous are eternal. Now, I got to clear that up before we get it. You get to Psalm 37, then I'm going to explain what I mean. The righteous are eternal. You say, well, preacher, who is righteous? The ones who have been declared righteous through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible calls it justification by faith. We are justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Justification is the legal act of God whereby he declares us righteous on the merits of his Son through faith in his finished work. Other words, we are the righteous ones, not because we are good, not because we have done this, or this to be good, but because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the only perfect one. And this perfect one went to the cross of Calvary to pay your sins and my sins. And when by faith we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God gives to us his righteousness. Therefore, we are righteous because we have been imputed with his righteousness. His righteousness has been put to our account. Okay. Now, if you're saved, that's who he's talking to. If you're born again, that's who he's talking about. He's talking about those who've been born again, blood-bought, saved believers. Now in Psalm 37, start with verse 23. The steps of a good man, saved man, are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, and who doesn't, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints, but they are preserved forever. Christian, you are going to live forever. I mean, you are going to live for all eternity, age upon age upon age. The righteous are eternal. How do we know we're eternal? John 10 will tell you that. John 10. I'm letting you look today. I'm going to skip in a minute and start going a little quicker so we can finish. But John 10, look at verse 27. My sheep, Jesus said, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now verse 28 of John 10. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, beloved, there it is. If you would, by simple faith, accept God's word as true, and that God means what he says and says what he means, when you come to Christ and are born again, the moment by faith you believe on the Lord Jesus, at that moment God gives you eternal life. Eternal life. And I want to say this, and I want to say it very strongly. There is no way in the world that a true child of God can ever lose his salvation. Because when God saves us, he gives us eternal life. And that's forever, brother. And if forever isn't forever, then God isn't forever, his word isn't forever, and we aren't forever. But thank God that he is the eternal God, his word is eternal, and he has said that when you and I get saved, he gives us eternal life. And brother, you get it the moment you believe. Remember what 1 John said? He that hath, present tense, the Son, hath everlasting life, present tense. You have it now. So many people in this world have got the idea that they must wait till they die to find out where they're going. The problem with that is this. What if you do wait to find out where you're going and you find out you went to the wrong place? It would be all over. But God gives us eternal life now so that we can know that he that hath the Son hath life right now, eternal life. And I have eternal life because I have Christ. And Christ, who is my life, is also eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. God gives us eternal life. Not only that, but if we had time, we could look at Hebrews and find out that God, the only kind of salvation God ever gave us was eternal salvation. Eternal salvation. You see, his salvation is eternal because he gives to those, when he gives salvation, eternal life. And eternal life is eternal salvation. You don't have to go around every time you sin and say, I wonder if I lost my salvation. No, if you have true Bible salvation, that salvation is an eternal salvation, and you never have to worry about perishing. Not only that, but God gives you an eternal home, an eternal place. He had promised, remember his word never changes because it's eternal. He promised, I give unto you eternal life. And where did he say this would be? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Where is Jesus? He's in heaven. He's at the Father's right hand. He said, what are you doing there? He's interceding for us, but he's also preparing for us a place. And when it's time, he will come and receive us unto himself, so that where he is, heaven, we may be there also in heaven. And how long? Forever. Peter said, he's given us an eternal inheritance. You know, folks, I'm glad that we got something real to preach and to practice and to live by. We have eternal life, eternal salvation. Didn't have time to cover eternal glory. Got an eternal home. There will a share be given our eternal rewards. Remember when he talked about the rewards that will be given to the believers that day at the Bema seat? He said that they will be tried to see if they're wood, hay, or stubble, or gold, silver, precious stones. The fire will try it. And we know that wood, hay, and stubble burn up. So if we have done things in the wrong way and in the wrong spirit and had the wrong attitude, God said our rewards will be burned up. But he said those who have done it by means of the Holy Spirit, in the power of the Spirit, they will receive gold, silver, precious metals, picturing eternal things. Those rewards will be forever in that place called the eternal home, eternal life with Jesus. But now let's close. And I want to say this in love. I want to say this to all of you. Just as the righteous have eternal life in glory, the lost will have eternal life in hell. The Bible doesn't really call it life, it calls it eternal death. And nowhere in the Bible does it say that when a person goes to hell, he'll be annihilated. Nowhere is that taught. Go to Matthew 24 again. 25. Matthew 25. I have several references, but I'm going to close with just this one. Matthew 25. Jesus was talking to the people about his return and the giving of rewards concerning the judgment of nations. I don't have time to go into detail and explain this, but there's a principle that's true there. He's talking about the sheep and the goats. And he's talking about those who have done visited him when he was sick and visited him in prison and cared for him. These will receive eternal rewards and in glory. And yet these who did not have time, these will, of course, they will lose. Though that eternal glory, that eternal life, and instead they'll hear, "Depart from me." The principle is this. The practical thing is, it's judgment of nations, how each nation treated the Jews during that time of tribulation. That keeps it in its Bible context. But the application, which is what we need to see, is this. Notice verse 41. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister? Then shall he answer them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these, the lost, shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous, the saved, into life eternal." Now the Greek has one word for eternal and one word for everlasting. And it's the same word. So if the righteous are going to live forever in heaven with the Lord Jesus and with the Father and with all the saints, if they're going to heaven to enjoy the eternal Son of God and the eternal Spirit of God and the Father, they're going to enjoy Him forever in heaven, then the Bible says that these who are not saved will go away into eternal or everlasting punishment. Not a temporal, throw a person into the lake of fire, they burn up and it's all over. But it says it will be an eternal punishment. And the Bible said in Revelation, and they shall be tormented day and night forever. Beloved, listen. when the church lost its message to the lost about hell, then the church was suddenly weakened, and today hell is breaking out all over this world within our churches because people don't believe in hell anymore. Why are we having such problems today? Why is everything going berserk today? Why are we got rebellion and murders? Last month, I believe, in Tampa, 23 murders. We're trying to become the murder capital of the nation. We're seeing everywhere decadence going down and down and down. Not just here, but in other countries as well as other states. Why? Because we believe that as a nation, we've thrown God out of the school. We've thrown him out of the courts. We're doing everything we can to forget there ever was a God. And God said, go to it. God said, okay, you want it that way? You've got it that way. God, so to speak, has stepped back from his blessing until the day we suddenly wake up and realize we've forgotten God, and we turn back to God and said, oh God, forgive us. We come back to God. Remember his promise, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Oh, what a great need. What a tremendous need. Folks, listen. You're going to live somewhere forever, either in heaven with an eternal God or in hell with the devil and his angels. Let's pray.